Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today it's my pleasure to walk with you through Acts 24. You know, everybody gets their day in court. I remember when I first had mine. I was 12 years old. I was a kid, and my bike swerved out of the bike lane, causing a bumper thumper. But someone went after me. One of the drivers in one of those cars, went after me and my parents and tried to take all we had. It was bogus, so the judge threw it out. Well, in Acts 24, Paul gets his day in court as well, and it too gets thrown out. Which is kind of miraculous, because the odds were heavily stacked against Paul in this chapter. If you remember, the Jewish leaders were after Paul. Verse 1 tells us the Jewish leaders who wanted Paul executed lawyered up for this one. Verse 1. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a lawyer named Tertullus, and they brought their charges against Paul before the governor. When Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. "We have enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought about reforms in this nation. Everywhere, in every way, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with profound gratitude. But in order not to weary you further, I would request that you be kind enough to hear us briefly." Oh man, this Tertullus, he's laying it on thick. He's like a bag of hot air, and he butters up Felix with charm and eloquence and a whole heck of a lot of butt kissing. "Not to weary you further, I would request you be kind enough to hear us briefly." In case you haven't realized it yet, this chapter is actually meant to be humorous at points. Paul was all about authenticity and truth, while these murderous fakers were all about deception and winning. Standing there, all Paul could do was smile. And Luke remembers how funny Paul was mimicking Tertullus when he recalls the courtroom scene later and laughs at how much butt-kissing and bootlicking Tertullus had to do. Tertullus isn't done blowing his hot air, though. Verse 5. "We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He is a ringleader of the Nazarene sect, and even tried to desecrate the temple, so we seized him. By examining him yourself, you'll be able to learn the truth about all these charges we are bringing against him." The other Jews joined in the accusation, asserting that these things were true. "Yes, yes, very true, very true. Yes, yes, very true." I still picture Paul there, grinning to himself, amused. I can remember being in a church meeting where the leadership split down the middle on some outreach we're doing. Half the leaders wanted this disruptive American pastor to go for turning their town upside down. The other half thought it was truly the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, people were getting saved like crazy. During this meeting, I got attacked ruthlessly for nearly 45 minutes as the moderator allowed them to list all the things wrong with Peyton Jones and his leadership. After a while, I gotta be honest, it just became amusing, and I started to smile, which only made them more angry. Maybe you've been in that place before where you've stood accused and everyone's convinced before you've even had a chance to give your defense that you're guilty. How do you handle situations like that? Well, let's watch Paul, what he answers in verse 10. When the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, "I know that for a number of years you have been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defense. You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship. My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city, and they cannot prove to you the charges they're now making against me. However, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the Way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that is in accordance with the law that is written in the prophets, and I have the same hope in God as these men themselves have, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. After an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. I was ceremonially clean when they found me in the temple courts doing this. There was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance, but there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. Or these who are here should state what crime they found in me when I stood before the Sanhedrin, unless it was one thing I shouted as I stood in their presence. It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today. Admittedly, this is a good speech. And Paul takes Tertullus's big balloon of hot air and pokes a pin right into it in verse 19. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. In other words, where are they? Where's my accusers? They're not even here. So Paul ends by saying, I'm here because I have a different opinion? Really? Verse 21. It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I'm on trial before you today. Felix the governor sits back in his chair as he weighs all of this. The fancy hired speaker and the simple, plain, honest spoken Paul. Verse 22. Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, I will decide your case then. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Paul was heard, but his judgment is hanging in the air. Life is like that a lot. Things unresolved, hanging in the air with people out to get you. Boy, you really draw near to God during those times, don't you? Obviously, Felix didn't see Paul as the dangerous criminal they made him out to be, because he gives Paul some freedoms and permits his friends to visit him. But his ordeal was far from over. Verse 24. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who is Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about his faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him frequently and talked with him. Did you catch that? Felix, a Roman governor, like Pilate, has a Jewish wife. There's an influence of righteousness in his life, but as a corrupt politician, he keeps hoping Paul will offer him money. Verse 26 told us he wanted a bribe. So he kept talking to Paul, like a moth to a flame, knowing it's going to burn him. Maybe that's why Paul often steered the topic of conversation to being about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. As he spoke about those subjects, verse 25 tells us Felix was afraid. Have you ever known someone who keeps bringing up your faith in Jesus, but will only go so far and then want you to stop? You can tell when it's getting close to the heart. That's enough, Felix said. I'll hear you again later. Felix is trapped by his own corruption. He keeps meeting with Paul because he wants a bribe, but instead keeps getting conviction. Paul wisely knows there's more than one way to skin a cat, and instead of preaching the gospel of grace, he reminds Felix there's a judgment to come. It's the same thing I do when I get those annoying telemarketing scam calls. I tell them about salvation and why they need what I have more than I need what they're selling. They eventually hang up and never call again. Verse 27, when 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, but because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. Did you catch that? 2 years go by. Felix is deported and moved on while Festus comes in as a new governor. And being the corrupt politician he was, Felix leaves Paul in prison to gain political favor. And thus Paul, who has places to go, things to do, and people to see, sits and waits. But that doesn't mean God isn't working. Just like he'd been working in the unseen depths of Felix's heart, so he's working in Paul's life, behind the scenes, moving things into place, pulling strings, and bending things according to his own will. Speaking of waiting, you'll have to wait to hear what happens until next time on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.